Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever heard someone use the expression and say, well, I'm no saint? Or maybe she's no saint. What do people mean by that? Well, when we say we're not a saint, it usually means something like, listen, I'm not perfect. I have flaws like everyone else. I don't always do the right thing. In other words, what you're saying is, I'm a sinner. Saint, in this sense, is being used as the opposite of sinner. Indeed, the word saint simply means a holy one. Someone who is distinguished by their moral purity. Someone set apart. Lifted above the corrupt world and its pollutions. St. John, for instance, says, anyone who commits sin is of the devil. So I think we all can agree that saints, being holy, are not of the devil, right? Saints are not sinners. The saints are those haloed faces, right, that peer out from us behind stained glass windows. They never do anything as wicked as overindulging in their child's Halloween candy. And they certainly never use swear words while in the car driving to say mass at the cathedral. They don't do that. They're saints. They're not sinners. Saints are the opposite of sinners, right? And we, by that logic, are no saints. We are not perfect. We have flaws. We don't always do the right thing. We are sinners. So we can say, as some people sometimes say, we are no saints. And yet, the New Testament continuously uses the term saint to refer to everyday Christians like you and me. Saint in the New Testament is just another word for Christian. For instance, Saint Paul can refer to those to whom he's writing simply as the saints. Sometimes he calls them saints in the very same letter in which he is chastising them for their sinfulness and their unbelief. How do we make sense of that? This is the mystery of the gospel. We are, as Martin Luther said, simultaneously justified, pronounced holy, and a sinner. We are made holy with a holiness that is not our own. It is the imputed righteousness of Christ that makes us holy. We are set apart by God on account of our faith and given a holy calling as his elect. We are called saints. We are still working out our salvation with fear and trembling, and yet, by faith, we are already justified before God. We are already proclaimed to be what we are in the process of becoming. As our reading from 1 John says, beloved, We are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. And yet, what about those saints that we remember today on All Saints Day? What about those saints that peer out from the stained glass windows? Right? These are those the scriptures refer to as the saints in light. We saints on earth aspire to their example. We are being strengthened and equipped that we might share in their glorious inheritance. As the hymn says, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, right? There's a difference, the saints on earth, the saints that are striving, and the saints who are in glory. These are those individuals who have obtained an exceptional level of sanctification, whose life is an example of holiness that we can follow with confidence, and who now dwell in the presence of God. These are the ones that we read about in our reading from Revelation, standing before the throne of God, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands, symbols of victory. They are those who have come out of the great ordeal and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They are the martyrs who have given their lives for the testimony. John's revelation was given at a time when the church was under intense persecution and conflict. And this vision was meant to inspire and encourage us, the saints who are still in the muck of it, the church militant, right? John is describing for us those who have persevered through the struggle and who are now exalted in God's presence. Likewise, the author of Hebrews encourages us to endure hardship and to, quote, run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. He tells us that we are surrounded by great clouds of witnesses, those haloed faces that peer out at us from behind stained glass. The pursuit of holiness through which God calls us to be saints, right? We're called to be saints. We already are saints by faith, but we're called to be saints. And it's like a great race, or it's an athletic contest. The saints in light, those white-robed army of martyrs, are like those who have crossed the finish line, and they're cheering us on from the other side. Their eyes are upon us. They pray and intercede for us as our allies in the struggle. Someone recently asked me, they said, if the saints can see us, if they can see us, and he was questioning whether they can see us. If the saints can see us, don't they see our pain and hurt? Don't they see our struggle? And if so, wouldn't that bring pain and suffering to them? Right? How could they be said to be in glory, in heaven, and be worrying about what goes on down here on earth? Isn't that a contradiction? That's a great question. And my first thought is that the saints do indeed grieve over suffering and wrong on earth. For instance, Revelation 6 depicts the martyrs as crying out to God for justice. It says they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. The clear implication from John's vision, from Revelation, is that the saints do indeed see and grieve over our struggle here on earth. In particular, they grieve for what? The delay of justice for the oppressed. Now, could they be truly good if they didn't? Would we call them saints? It's sometimes suggested that saints in heaven are too busy glorifying God and enjoying his presence to be concerned with us or the affairs of earth. Now, that's not correct. I don't think it's correct. The heaven they enjoy is not escapism and endless fun. You know what that is? That's Disneyland. You want escapism? Go to Disneyland. We shouldn't picture the saints as lounging about in some Epicurean paradise, some resort far removed from the miseries of the world. Let me ask you something. Does our love of God make us more or less concerned about the evils in the world? If in this world, right, holiness means a growing passion to see the righteousness of God established on earth, how could it be any different for the saints in light? Wouldn't they watch what happens on earth? Wouldn't they pray about what happens on earth and say, Lord, how long? Do not the scriptures tell us that God also grieves over the wickedness of the world, that his anger, his wrath is kindled against sin, that he mourns with those who mourn? Why should we expect any different from the saints? Right? No. Now, the saints aren't blissfully unaware. And yet, they never despair because they are in the presence of God. He is their comfort and their endless consolation. It's not that there's no grief in heaven. It's that God wipes away every tear from every eye. God is an everlasting consolation to the saints. The saints have an unconquerable hope and joy in God's final victory. However, they are restless until its fulfillment. Their joy will not be complete until all of us are gathered in and everything that is evil is made right and the new heavens and the new earth is established. Revelation says, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He's avenged on her the blood of his servants. John looks forward to that time when the saints will celebrate over the victory of God on earth over justice. So what should we conclude from this? True holiness does not take us out of the world, but it turns our hearts to its good and its redemption. True holiness doesn't remove us from the world. So what is a saint? A saint is someone who's called out by God, made holy, and empowered to be an advocate for holiness and righteousness for the world. Someone who prays for the world's redemption. Who prays for the coming of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The saints are just folk like me. They're just ordinary people. And I mean God helping to be one too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.